The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
NUS.
Morning, everybody. 6 a.m. on a Friday. Beautiful weekend, June the 11th, 2021. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather on a Friday. Sunny, cooler, 83s cooler, right? Saturday, 88, and Sunday, 90, maybe some afternoon rain. Yet to come this morning, Rob Nadelson's on the show, Alan Samuel and Mike Boyle's on the show. In the meantime, our tradition now on Friday mornings at 6 a.m. is to have Father Andre Mahana on the radio show, his Sunday show, at 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings here on 710. It's just doing terrific. Father, good morning. Thanks. And again, happy Friday.
Peter, happy Friday. It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus today, too.
Today is? It's Mark's today? I forget
today
all the holy
is.
Days. Yeah.
Yes. How are you doing today?
I mean, there seems to be, like, there. I mean, how many, there's whole days of holy obligation, and then there's days. Re-explain that to me.
Well, there are days of obligations, meaning, you know, God is fun. God loves fun. God loves relaxation. I think another way to look at the holy days of obligation is to tell man, relax, take a break, stop going to work, life will go on, sit with your family, honor God, honor the Sabbath, basically, and relax, just enjoy, let God be in charge. I think it's just a reminder for the balance in general. And, of course, in a religious sense, it's a day that makes us realize that at the end and after everything, time is sacred, family is sacred, friendship is sacred, life is sacred, and that day of obligation allows us to turn back towards our Creator, towards our God, and appreciate the gift of life. So many days of obligations are set in such a way to remind us that life is not an isolated phenomenon. Life is in the will of God, and the active will of God aims for our salvation, and in return, we shall honor him. This is basically the purpose of a day of obligation.
Back to what Father Andre does so well is politics, Middle East, and what's taking place. This is the Sunday. What will happen in Israel? This is now a complete change. Bibi's out. What happens on Sunday, Father, in Tel Aviv?
Well, I was reading a few articles, and I'm looking at an analysis, Peter, and by no means, I'm definitely not a politician, but I look with care to these situations. It seems Israel might be going through a phenomenon of Lebanonization. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. It's the same thing I thought of. What happened in Lebanon is happening, and I'll really make a stretch. It's because of political correctness. The Israelis, the original Zionists, who are now gone, have the new politically correct Israelis, although not the military. But and again, there's now for the first time a decision being made with the help of a Palestinian Israeli. Correct.
Correct. Correct. And I think the project is definitely is to give the Islamic movement inside Israel. Hamas inside Israel, the Sunni Muslims inside Israel, the Druze inside Israel, I think they're going to give them some type of a representation. But, you know, this is what Lebanon was about since 1943, and nobody wanted to live in such a Lebanon where there's what we call conventional democracy, where you delegitimize your opponent through the phenomenon of the political I would say process of election and representation in a government, and you give them a relative representation. And in such a way, you're mitigating the use of violence by putting it inside the government. But look what this creates in return. If you do this, you might jeopardize the progress of a nation. You might, unless it's going to be like United States, you know, where there is a total separation between
church and state,
basically religion
sure.
and a state. I would say it in more general term, not church and state, religion and state.
Okay.
Is Israel able to live in a nation where Judaism is separated from the rule of the state? That's basically remain to look at how they can do that.
But Israel was founded as not necessarily a religious state, but a Jewish state. And that was what Zionism was about. On the other hand, when Father was born and raised in Lebanon, Father Mahana is with us, Father Andre Mahana, when did Lebanon begin to fail?
I would say Lebanon began to fail when the West, and due to the Palestinian situation in 1975.
The invasion.
Actually before, since 1962, yeah. The invasion, the three countries wars on Israel, 1967 attacks, 1975. You know, it started with that bus. There was a bus of the Palestinian guerrillas. They came to the Christian areas in Ain Rimeni, in East Beirut, and they said the liberation of Palestine begins from Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of that Christian town, they started killing people right and left.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it was really bad, was really horrible. You started having religious massacres, you started having a civil war, then you had the Arab League sending Arab militaries inside Lebanon, the UN resolutions did not work, the Israeli invasion, Syrian invasion before that, Hezbollah on the rise since 1979 in Lebanon. It is sad to say that Lebanon failed because of the natural world disorder. And the natural world disorder springs usually from economy affairs, financial affairs, and religious melancholy, unfortunately.
Every Sunday morning at 6, this man is here, Father Andre Mahana. Also, people, I don't know if they remember, the Marine Corps went ashore in Lebanon. And I'm not talking about the shores of Tripoli. I'm talking about under Eisenhower, the Marines went ashore and stayed, and then eventually left. And then they went again under Reagan, and that was the terrible explosions when everything blew up and killed people.
It's true.
It's you were there, I think, or you were a young man. Maybe you were a seminarian when that happened.
That was in my childhood, but I do remember my dad telling me, you're talking that you are so educated, and it is so important, Peter, to educate our American people. 1958, there was this revolution in the Middle East, and Abdel Nasser tried to unite Lebanon and Syria and Egypt, making them like a pan-Arab nation. That's what they were. And the Christian leader in Lebanon said, no, Lebanon is an independent country. And this came basically exactly 10 years after the establishment of Israel. So imagine 1948, Israel got established. 1958, you have this Egyptian leader who's running a pan-Arab nation surrounding Israel just like a big semi-moon, basically. That would have killed it at the time, because anti-Semitism, the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Palestinian situation, unfortunately, everything was big inflammation in the area. Because the Christian leader stood against Abdel Nasser in Egypt, in return, they caused a revolution in Lebanon, and it was going to dismantle the Christian presence in the entire Middle East. At that time, the American president said, no. We will go, we will put troops on the ground in Lebanon, and we will support the existence of Christianity in Lebanon. And I do believe this was the last sane, S-A-N-E, policy of the United States government for the Middle East. And then somehow he pulled them away. Then in 1982, Ronald Reagan, you know, put them back. And then when the bombing against the Marines happened, they decided again to leave. And I don't think there has ever been a policy in the Middle East ever since.
No.
At the end of which, look, the entire Middle East is being Lebanized, and unfortunately is not going to stop the drain of war, terrorism, anti-Semitism, corruption, and the persecution against Christians, which all of these issues must stop.
It seems to me, in reading the history of the Middle East, and it's an ongoing process, and I am no means an expert, but it's a, like much like the history of Ireland, it's a history of invasion and resistance. And the one dominant force that runs through Middle Eastern politics is petroleum, is oil, and access to oil. But I'm always mixed with Nasser. Nasser comes to power. The British have controlled Egypt. They put Farouk on the throne, much like when after the First World War they take this guy and he's the odd man out, and they, quote, put him on the throne in Baghdad in a country that never existed. This is meddling by the Europeans, and the Arabs know it, and the Lebanese know it, and it's not going to get solved. I mean, I really believe in Lebanon's such an incredible place, and what was the theory in history? Everybody goes in the Middle East through Lebanon, everybody leaves the Middle East out through Lebanon, and now, but by the way, take a second. I promised I would do this to myself, I promise. People hear that word Druze all the time. Father, who were the Druze?
Well, that's a beautiful question, Peter, and very interesting. The Druze is a Muslim sect that actually started in Egypt in the year 1000 almost, you know, with Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi between the 900 and the 1000. Al-Darazi was an Egyptian man who has seen and was influenced by esoteric religions and by an early form of what we call transcendental thinking. And so it's secretive by nature. In Egypt, it was not accepted by the form of Islam that was there. It was harshly persecuted. They ran to Lebanon. And in Lebanon, in the year 1000, the Maronite people, which is the Christians of the area, the Catholic people of the area, accepted them. Because, see, Maronites are sensitive to persecution. They understand the value of freedom. They understand the value of having a person's personal freedom, whether it's religious freedom, social freedom, freedom by all means, basically. They hosted them, they accepted them, they received them, they gave them refuge in Lebanon, and they grew as a community. And in fact, the Druze established the kingdom resistance against the Turkish Empire. And they had a series of emirs and the princes, basically, who ran major resistance against the Turkish Empire. And they identify today inside Israel, inside the Golan Heights, in Syria and in Lebanon. I would say there are a few millions of them in that particular area. And nobody knows that most of the Israeli army watching the southern borders, the northern borders from our side, basically, southern borders with Lebanon, northern borders of Israel, are actually Druze.
Listen.
Many of them.
I saw the Druze, and they tore down churches, then they built them back. But they're kind of like Kurds inside of, although Kurds are so different as well. And the Druze are... they're really tough guys. Is that a good way to say it?
Very tough guys, and they change allegiance. You're right.
Yeah.
And you said it properly, like the Kurds. I mean, look, in 1917, most of the massacres led by the Turkish Empire against the Christians in Iraq and in Turkey were actually accomplished by the Kurds.
You bet.
Believe it or not.
When people start talking about using poison gas and all this kind of stuff, the British did that to the Kurds when the British were trying to run Iraq, i.e. Mesopotamia. The British, this is Winston Churchill, they're killing Kurdish people with poison gas, and they're killing them from airplanes, just like eventually what the Italians do in Ethiopia or Adolf Hitler does with his Condor legions in Spain. That's this thing about me in history. I see it again and again and again and again, but the British are... some of the principal reasons why there's amazing and huge and maybe unsolvable problems today. And I look at this as what, and it's sad. So the Israelis would
look at it this way. Peter, look at it this way. Can an American perceive a people inside the United States who do not have allegiance to the United States of America, yet they are people without a nation?
Yep.
Can we in the United States imagine or perceive that there are people living amongst us in the United States who are people, yet they're not having allegiance to the United States, and they are looking for a nation? We can't. The Druze, the Kurds,
the Palestinians,
the Fulani in Africa.
The
Palestinians, at least they had a state at some point, right? They had a country.
At one time.
But you're talking the Fulanis. You're talking the Fulanis in Africa, the Boko Haram. You have millions of Fulanis. They run in Nigeria. and they kill all Christians. They dismantle their homes, take their properties away, killing millions. Only in the 4 months of 2021, Peter, because of the persecution in Africa, we have over 2,600 Christians in 4 months have been killed, killed in Nigeria alone. And because Fulanis is a people without a nation, they go in and they occupy the land. The same thing at some point were the Druze until they settled in Lebanon. The same thing are the Kurds.
Yep.
30 million Kurds are between Turkey, between Syria and Iraq, and a little bit in Iran, and they have no nation. So they run, they proselytize sometimes themselves, and they succeeded at the same time, creating their own, you know, system in northern Iraq, basically, in Kurdistan. And for the first time, they finally tried to pertain to a land calling at home. These are real dormant problems that our American policy does not know how to cope with.
But it was created. Father Mahan is with us Sunday morning at 6. It's a don't miss. But it was created by outside forces. And it was created by power, created by petroleum, created by Versailles, and created by the military. And it's a great sadness in it. And I don't know if it can be fixed. But now in Lebanon, that was once the Paris of the Mediterranean. And now, my heavens, everybody and all, because of people that I know, because of you, and they tell stories. The Israelis now, the parliament, will have a say-so in by an Arab-Palestinian. And we talk about political correctness, and that's kind of what's happened, but they needed to do it to put together the coalition, because it's a parliament, so you have to have a coalition of forces in the Knesset to do it. What's that going to do? Final question, Father. What's that going to mean for Israel, and what's going to happen?
This is going to mean that for the first time in its established a new state history, Israel has to regard the Islamic movement as a legitimate group, which can form a coalition inside the Jewish state, and that by nature they live, they abide, and they benefit from the Jewish law. Is this possible while in Israel the Knesset members is basically a system that is formed around what we call the Din Haq, the true religion, which means Judaism is the true religion of the state of Israel. That's why I called it the Lebanonization of Israel. I'm not judging, and you're not judging either. You're not saying this is right or wrong. Look, in the United States, we live people of all religions or no religion at all. We still live under one God, even though we refuse him and we reject him every day in our daily lives, but we still are trying to abide in a citizen peace. As long as there will be equal rights, equal protections, I think such a thing is possible. But when you live in a small area and the numbers are against you, how many Jewish people you have in the Middle East? You have 2 million, 3 million, 11 million total in the whole world, possibly, or 13 million. Well, guess what? You have 2 billion Muslims in the world, 350 million of whom they live in immediate encounter of Israel. Is conventional democracy possible when 2 billion people suffer or they are in somehow actively dealing with anti-Semitism and involved in the persecution against Christians? These are the challenges, and what can this administration do about it? It's a good experience.
Biden.
We pay for its success. It is in the hand of President Biden.
The one thing that dominates everything that I read is to try and understand Islam vis-a-vis a government, because the religion is the government. And unless you understand that first, you won't understand. The other two things to understand: the role of colonialism, the role of the multinationals, the role of, you know, what happened in the First World War, Second World War, what happened. Once you understand those things, you understand why people are angry. I was trying to explain to somebody the other night why the Chinese don't like us. And I give you, you know, there's textbooks, history books full of why the Chinese don't like us.
And I don't honestly, Peter, see hope in the success of the outcome.
No.
I do see that the people have goodwill. They're trying their hard to avoid violence and to avoid killing people and to try to live together. But, you know, the issue is deeper than this. The
Absolutely.
Issue always, as I told you, reside in the divine revelation of what did God intend when he said Judaism, Christianity, and Islam have revelations from him. What did he intend with that? You have to consider the divine will for all these three religions. Two, the love of oil and money for the West. This war is between money and God. And it is going to drag the entire world either into a success or into an Armageddon of an apocalyptic violence, unfortunately. This is really what the test that is awaiting the whole world. You keep bringing up the love of the petroleum, the oil, the, you know, the Western nations were in tireless debt and with World War I, World War II. They need the oil of the East. They need the money of the Islamic nations. And now with the China, with the cheap labor, with this invasion power that is getting all the nations in a cheap labor force, basically, and the abundance of a production that is taken over the entire world. This is between money and God.
Well, certainly power and money and military power and military money, and all of the Middle Eastern states seem to want, first of all, to keep, and there are very rare places like Israel where you can actually have a change in government because it doesn't happen in other places. But most importantly, whether it's the Shah or whether it's the mullahs or whether it's Saddam or whether it's, it doesn't matter. The most important thing you have is a big, strong, standing army, and that's supplied principally by the West, by the United States, by the British, by the French, now the Russians. And it's another, you know, the arms dealers and petroleum guys. It's a witch's brew. And, you know, you were talking about sub-Saharan Africa, and actually with you one time where when people were murdering, Hutus and Tutsis were murdering one another, and the criticism was, well, why didn't anybody ever intervene? And the answer was, well, there was no oil. You know?
I think there is deep racism in Africa, Peter, from all the continents of the world, not only because they had no oil, but, you know, there's a lot of resources in Africa.
Sure. Yeah.
I look at the African case and I go, you know, there's about 1,250,000,000 people, the population of Africa, 49% of the African continent. Let our listeners know this. 49% of the African continent are Christians, 49%. That's the largest black population in the entire world, in the entire world. In Africa, there are 680 million Christians, 680 million Christians. In 1 year alone, in the first 4 months of this year, in the largest black nation in the world, which is Nigeria, 200 million people, basically, you have 2,600 Christians being killed in 4 months because they are Christians. They are black. Yeah. Black Lives Matter in Africa. Black Lives Matter in Africa, but it's not on the radar of even the African-Americans in the United States or anyone. Why?
Yeah. Yeah. But
because those people are associated with God.
But also remember,
and they do not want to pay attention.
Nigeria holds sway because of oil. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I love you. You don't miss this show. Sunday morning at 6 a.m., he is here, and it's a don't miss. I talk to you this week. Thanks, Father. Be safe. Thank you. Father Andre Mahana. We have these unbelievable 2 and 3 hour battles, and I just think he's remarkable. He's the smartest guy. 303-696-1971. Good morning. We began talking about Tay Anderson, critical race theory, and I mentioned this columnist in Great Britain who got fired for her royal baby takeoff. And that led us into who can't work. And a list of comics and people. Is there anyone any more unfunny than the politically correct? All right. And then Mike Boyle in studio this morning. It'll be funny. Alan Samuels here. Rob Nadelson coming up. Home buying season is here, and others prepare to make a move. You're doing one better. You're making the smart move. American Financing, Colorado's one-stop shop for all your real estate needs. From competitive loans to low rates to partnerships with some of the area's top realtors, you're certain to find everything you need and more. Don't put off moving because you're not sure what to do. Get in front of it. Pick up the phone and see where you are. American Financing, find out what it takes to get into your dream home. Let them introduce you to a realtor who's going to work for your schedule. You can list when you're ready and make top dollar on your sale. Truly, the best guys, American Financing. It's the phone call, 303-695-7000. All right, I had enough. Boyles is telling me this. They do all the heavy lifting. They save you money. It's like a paycheck. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net, 303-695-7000. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
A-N-U-S.
Lines are wide open for the first time on a Friday, 11 June 2021, 83 and sunny, and tomorrow, Saturday, 88 and 90 on Sunday, back to work Monday, 92 degrees, 303-696-1971. Came out of the box this morning, and Jimmy Sengenberger is doing Stefan this afternoon. He's done wonderful work on the Tay Anderson story. So yesterday, the story was the union knew 2 years ago about the allegations and still endorsed them. This morning, your Denver Post. Findings in Tay Anderson investigation will be released by end of summer. Where's the BS flag? Oh, it's here in my pocket. Throw it on the ground. They know. Come on. Come on. You know, in the words of my sainted grandmother, I was born at night, but not last night. I'll read it to you. Findings from Denver Public School investigation of the sexual assault allegations against school board member Tay Anderson will not be released. They're biding time. They're playing for time. So far, according to this piece, you as the taxpayer spent 50 G's on this investigation. Now, the fact that not one person in the Democratic hierarchy calls for this guy, step down, get away, back up. Kids, I thought the children would lead us. Part of political correctness is the children will lead us. These kids said, we don't want this guy's name on our diplomas. Never mind, don't talk about that. All these accusers, especially things like Black Lives Matter, inside of Black Lives Matter, statement was published. A young woman who worked with Anderson at the board of Never Again Colorado, a youth-led anti-gun organization, I just read that, said he's made uncomfortable, though unwanted sexual and touching and blah. Still on the gig, isn't he? And then because of Jimmy's good work on this, Mary Catherine Brooks Fleming testified, and she, again, that story pops. The Classroom Teachers Association, a.k.a. the union, acknowledged that its committee knew about this in 2019. I believe the president of the DCTA president, he's running the game too. He's pulling a shaft job. And this is the interesting thing about political correctness. So the follow-up on the story is, well, the findings won't be released until end of summer, which means they probably mean fall, which means who knows what it means. The next thing to talk about, and I think this was hilarious, and this woman lost her job. We have talked about again and again and again, people in our end of the business, writers and on-airs and others, lose their gigs. And I think this is hilarious. And yet, in political correctness, this is what led into how unfunny the politically correct witch hunters have become. And then it led us into who can't work, who could never work. And I love Don Rickles. You can go on the YouTube and you can see all these Rickles performances at Roast and on the Carson Show, some of his stand-up stuff. And Rickles is brutal, but it was brutally funny. And, of course, could he work today? No. And then it came up with Sam Kennison and Dice Clay, and then people got into Richard Pryor. And it's all true. Who could not work today? So this story is out of Great Britain. I don't know if we can find her. We've done shows with people from Great Britain in the past. I think this made me laugh out loud. A columnist, her name is Julie, and it's B-U-R-C-H-I-L-L. She's been fired by the Sunday Telegraph. And what did she say? And you tell me this isn't funny. She's critiquing Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Now, let me sidetrack you into this other Meghan. I despise British royals, probably with the exception of the Queen. And Meghan Markle is laugh-out-loud funny and her goofball husband. Anyhow, Meghan has decided to share her wisdom. I'm reading this, an insight into the bonds forged by parroting and distributing. First of all, she's not distributing 2,000 books. Her publisher is doing this. But listen to what they say. Meghan Markle wants to nourish the community. She's going to nourish the community with free copies of her book. And, of course, that will be welcomed by the PC. The PC love her. Her book is The Bench. And these are words that she wrote. She's great.
Every time you say that about Meghan Markle and the quote,
no.
Okay, I'm going to put on my sixth grader hat at this point. And every time I hear that you know, egotistical, flowery statement about her wanting to nourish the community, to nourish and nurture the community. I'm sorry, but the sixth grader wants to grab a specific body part, and I get to say, I got your nourishment
right
here.
I got you right here, lady. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to nourish this. I mean, come on.
It's just the
ego that is involved in the idea that, you know, I have found something special that now I must plant inside of the community, and everybody should read this.
Remember,
and I'm going to do this for you.
Remember, Billy, when she was going to run for president? That was about a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they live in, like, Beverly Hills or something. I don't know where they live. And they have a community-based foundation called Archwell. Remember the kids, Archie?
Yeah.
And they've received support to distribute 2,000 copies at no cost to libraries, community centers, schools, and nonprofits that need her to nourish them. Well, now,
yeah, the publisher's making their money back. Somebody's picking up that check.
Trust me.
So, yeah, they're distributing it, but somebody paid for it.
As a geeky amateur writer, I wonder what her advanced was on this. I mean, she probably stunned on this.
Oh, it'd be huge, only because of the name. That's the thing. Yeah.
And so she's nourishing the community. So, I mean, this whole thing's a joke. So this woman in Great Britain, she writes this. And, you know, I realize I've offended people already, but still got to read it again.
Yeah.
The Sunday Telegraph, she's been accused of disgusting racism. And she did this tweet about the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, which is Meghan and Harry. The baby who was born, they named the baby Lilibet, who was grandma's nickname, Lilibet Diana, which is his mom, and the rest go, and the beat goes on. She writes, what a missed opportunity. They could have called it, and she uses it for a reason, Georgina Flordina, George Floyd. That's funny. And referencing George Floyd, the black man, of course, was murdered in Minneapolis. Then she doubles down, according to the London Economist, saying that she called the baby an it as a nod to non-binary bullocks. Writing the Sussex baby's first words will be, "Free Palestine." That's funny.
That is funny.
That's hilarious.
That is really funny. Yeah. I mean, regardless of political spectrum, you have to understand the acerbic nature of that comment. Yes, it's great.
I mean, I have a really wonderful friend, and he's Irish, but he grew up in the slums of London, and he's got the same sense of humor. They're biting. I mean, nobody bites you like British and Irish. They just take you apart. So the baby's first word, the baby will be an it because it's a nod to non-binary, and the writing of the Sussex first words will be Free Palestine.
So here's the thing that I want to know. Well, where's the racism? In those entire comments, that's the thing is, in the entire exchange there, the tweets that got her in trouble, where is she calling out and highlighting a race negatively?
No.
That's the thing.
Well,
that's a problem with the witch hunters, and that's something you point out very accurately all the time, that they continually have to hunt, yet their justification for it here is asinine, because she doesn't go after race ever. And so you makes me mad.
But since I have nothing else to do after 9 o'clock in the morning, and everybody talks about critical race theory, I've decided to become a little reader on critical race. And what I've come to is this is their claim. Racism is part of everyday life, so people, white or non-white, who don't intend to be racist can nevertheless are racist. And that's why they bring this into schools to your kids and my kids and black kids, white kids, it doesn't matter. And so you're taught that you're taught that your skin color is your predetermining part of life. And now it's called critical race theory, and it's getting a lot of attention.
And this is what I got a problem. See, the thing is, with critical race theory, this is, for me, almost a picture-perfect example of how the liberals – let things get away from them and how they try to be too perfect. And and they try to be almost, I forget the word, but because the core of what critical race theory is, at its core, is an okay idea. And this is why. The core of the critical race theory is that our idea that our skin color makes us a different subset of humans is wrong. And that I can deal with. Because the idea being, you know, we have a whole series of birds and they all look different in one species. They can have different colorations, but they're still the same species. And that's the core idea, is the idea was starting that, hey, you know what, biologically, we are all still humans, even though we are colored differently. That's the core. That is an okay idea. But when they then started to talk about it, as we have with government language and flowery language like Meghan Markle, they begin to be too perfect. They go, well, if it's this, then your white skin has to be a bias, and the white skin has to be a negative, and that's where they get into the difficulty. The core idea behind it is solid. It's the implementation and where they go from there that is stupid. They started it somewhere good and then ran willy-nilly down the road and ended up somewhere absolutely stupid.
But it's Marxist, and this is the point that I try and make. You must have oppressors and you must have the oppressed. And so you have this idea that equity can only be that creates, I guess, the idea that could be considered anti-racism. The only way you can do that is white people are the oppressors, black people are the oppressed, and it jackets a little kid. And all these and listen, anybody that says that the nation doesn't have enormous problems or hasn't had enormous problems is a fool. But it is what is to be done. And so the theory leads to all these negative dynamics, a focus on a group identity, on shared traits, and people are divided into the oppressed and then the oppressor groups. And it's a good deal of confusion, but it means, how do you become an anti-racist? Well, that means everything is racist, and that's how, long story short, long way around the barn, that's why this UK columnist is fired for suggesting Georgina Florodina for the royal baby name. To me, that's funny as hell. To the politically correct witch hunters, the blind rage, that is racist. And it's just amazing to watch it. What, you know, I have no problems with people talking about events in the past, which is kind of a passion, but not to say the kinds of things that are said and jacketing your kid. And our country's a bad place, and that goes back to 1619. And this stuff is being taught. 1619, the only reason America exists is because of slavery, and it begins at 1619, which isn't true either, because there's a much earlier arrival of a man kept in slavery and was done by the Spaniards, 96 years prior to 1619. So they cheat themselves. They cheat themselves. 303-696-1971, which led us into who can't work.
Yeah, now, when we go back to the British journalist that was canceled, fired, I'm stuck on the idea of what was the racist comment. Now, I'm wondering if it was the Georgina Florodina.
Oh, sure, of course it was.
And now, here's the problem with that. And now, this is why the witch-hunting liberals are just moronically stupid. Because what they've done is they've said Georgina Florodina, that is somehow, he's made it a racist name. I know it is, but here's the thing. According to them, we shouldn't have black names, white names, or Asian names. All names should be equal. Yet, when the British woman uses a name that they should be looking at as equal, not identifying race with it, they then put the race tag on the name. They do the exact thing they claim they're trying to stop.
But
this is the stupidity that you point out all the time. Yes.
Yeah,
this is why they need to be taken outside and hit with a hammer.
But when you watch this, and so let me do this. We'll do a break and come back. I'm looking forward to coming up. Rob Nadelson, who can't work? I mean, somebody said Joan Rivers just came in, would not be able to work. Bob and I, when she did a movie called Rabbit Test, and it's funny about a man getting pregnant. And, of course, everybody said, how far-fetched. Now we have the birthing person, which Joan Rivers. 83, the high, 88 tomorrow. There's truly an art to putting together the birthing person. The perfect kitchen or bathroom remodel. If you want the best countertops at wholesale pricing, contact Mitch Flory at the Art of Granite. Mitch, he's coming in next week to talk. An expert, a craftsman. His childhood stories are, well, you know, that's where we're headed. grows up under the Ceausescus, makes his way to this country, loves America, granite, quartz, marble, all those things, the materials that he works with, and the true works of art. You want somebody that'll do the job, just want somebody to talk and say, hey, man, a virtual consultation with Mitch, but now the pandemic has lifted to it. They can come to your house, they'll COVID up when they come in. 303-386-5919. I love the guy. 303-386-5919. Visit the website, artofgranite.com, artofgranite.com. They provide granite from their own warehouse in Golden. By the way, critiquing critical race theory makes you a racist. Did you know that? I mean, being critical of critical race makes you a racist. Mitch provides the granite from his own warehouse in Golden at wholesale prices, no markups. You can get the most for your budget. Mention 710KNUS and get a bathroom countertop for free. Purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertops. Get a kitchen bathroom sink free with a purchase of any countertop package. I'm telling you, 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. Make his phone ring this morning. Say, hey, man, come take a look at what I got and tell me what you can do. Artofgranite.com, artofgranite.com, artofgranite.com. All right, 652, we'll jump to the phones real quick, and then we got to turn around. Don, you're on a radio show. Good morning.
Hey, Peter, good morning.
Hey.
So I was just thinking about different people that probably wouldn't be able to perform. I don't think Al Jolson could get away with it.
Not blackface, no.
How about Jack Benny?
Benny could work, I think. You know, Benny was non-offensive. I'm a Benny fan. Maybe with Rochester they would have had a problem, but I think Benny'd work.
How about you think any of Red Skelton stuff with
Red Hopper
would offend anybody?
No, Red could work. Red could work. I never thought Red was funny. That was my problem with Red. Red could work. It would be.
Gosh, I saw him down at the Buell for about 2 hours before he passed away in the late 90s, and that place. People laughing.
Oh, listen.
Night. I get it. You know, the guy never used profanity ever.
And oh, no. Red worked, and Benny worked clean. They called working clean. Benny worked clean, and Red worked clean. And the old stand up guys, a friend of mine just sent Benny Hill. Remember Benny Hill, those television shows?
Loved Benny Hill.
You think he could work, Don?
No.
I don't either.
I don't know if Are You Being Served could be on a little bit.
So what they have done, what political correctness has done, like they've done to the language, it's smaller every year. And Richard Pryor could not work today.
Oh.
There's no question Richard Pryor could not work. Lenny Bruce, I mean, the people that we watched as kids. I don't think Eddie Murphy could do stand-up right now for truly. Eddie couldn't do it right now.
Could he do it in a private setting? Comedy club? Comedy clubs, stuff like that?
I don't think so. Bill Dana did that guy. This is being sent in. Callers are great this morning. Jose Jimenez. Remember that takeoff? And that guy used to come on to see.
I'm Jose Jimenez.
Yeah, come in and do the astronaut bit and everything. He couldn't work today. That'd be done.
I remember when Shepard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
When he played and the right stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was it? Scott Glenn played Al Shepard.
Yep.
And he was doing that to that guy until he had the.
That's right. Yep. Oh, absolutely. Did you ever read that book? Those are all true stories.
Oh, so. I did. Yeah.
The point of it is, you know, they've ruined so many things, and now they're after movies. We mentioned yesterday the original, the story. You know, when Indiana Jones first shows up, the first one, and a girl Marion, and they're going after the Ark of the Covenant, and. They meet in the Tibetan bar where there's a big fight and everything, and they had been lovers, and she said, I was a child. He responds, you knew what you were doing. Now they're after Indiana Jones as a pedophile. This is a movie. It's the equivalent of a fiction novel, but the witch hunters are now after that movie, and this is the stuff, and it's always the next man. I get this, I'll get that. I get that, I'll get this one. Keep giving me what I want, and pretty soon we will have that sort of North Korean Kim culture that nothing is allowed. I got to jump, Don. I love the call. Coming back, the one and only Rob Nadelson, Alan Samuel, and Mike Boyle. Hang on. It's a Friday, 710 KNUS. There are.